Well, I hope that's helped you just a little bit to understand what Roma is all about. And this is my sending church in my home church, and I'm so thankful for it. But Roma was born in the basement of the mission house right next door as Dr. Clark and I brainstormed and put this agency together. And so we're just thankful for your participation. Would you go in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And of course, Brother Ricky was in Acts this morning. And even Brother Clark will be in Acts this evening. And because we're talking about local church ministry, and we see the local church growing, and we see the local church being blessed, and we see the local church, of course, glorifying the Lord Jesus. Let me remind you of some literature on the displays. Please stop by the displays. There are three displays. Of course, our prayer cards are on there. Pick up our prayer cards to pray for us. But there's also a brochure on the Roma Outreach Missions Association that we would like you to get your hands on to give to someone who believes God is calling them into missions. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? I need to remind those in the sound room that I have a tendency to get a little loud, so you may want to adjust. I don't apologize for it, by the way. But I may, and if you've never heard me preach before, I'm a very enthusiastic preacher. I don't apologize for that either. But if my enthusiasm offends you, then don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to the Word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 2, begin reading at the 41st verse. I'll read aloud as you follow in silence. This morning, I'm speaking on the subject of the goals of Roma. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless. Gracious Heavenly Father, you know my heart and my desire this morning, because I've been praying about this meeting for a very long time, ever since Pastor Pete and I planned it, Father. And so, Father, I'm asking that you hide me behind the cross this morning. I don't want people to see nor remember Walter Stevens. I want them to hear and remember the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for Cleveland Baptist Church and all that it means to missions around the world. Many churches planted, many missionaries sent, Father, and many souls won. And so, Father, help me to be a blessing and a challenge and an encouragement. Help me to be a blessing to Pastor Pete and his dear family, Lord. Help me to be a blessing to Pastor Kevin and his family, Lord. And most important of all, Father, help me to be a blessing to the heart of my Savior, the Lord Jesus, for it's in his name we do pray with thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. I want to share, you may be seated, I want to share a verse with you this morning, and it's just really a thanksgiving verse, thanking you for what you have done in the ministries of missions all around the world, and then specifically as we focus on Roma ministry today. I want to give you Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It's not really a part of the message. This is just a gift to you this morning, where the Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." And so that's our thanksgiving to you. And when I was reading that verse, and I read this verse in several Roma Sundays that we've already had, and it's always meant a lot to me, and it always meant a lot to the churches. But as I was reading that verse right now, faces of those who are in this church went through my mind's eye, of those who have been so faithful in serving here for so many years. And so I want to thank you because of you for the past 31 years, because of your prayers, your investment in missions, and specifically in the Gypsy ministry. So much has happened in 30 plus years with Gypsy Outreach Ministries now on three continents. The video was made before we got heavily extensive in a ministry that I'm partnering with another missionary of yours, Brother Lawrence Evans. As we minister to the gypsies of Kissimmee, Florida, where every Thursday night we're going to be adding Sunday soon. And God is blessing that ministry. Keep Brother Evans in your prayers. He's having some health issues. But Roma, of course, our agency, and Gypsy Outreach, which are local church ministries, are all ministries of the local church. Thus, the same ecclesiastical principles apply. Just like the choir would come under the authority of the local church, Sunday school, bus routes, all of it comes under the auspices and the authority of the local church. As I said in the video, I do not believe in parachurch ministries. I think everything should be under the umbrella of the local church. Amen? And so Bible Baptist Church Bradenton and its leadership is Roma's authority. Of course, we as missionaries are under the authority of Cleveland Baptist Church, and every Gypsy Outreach are under the authority of their host church. And like the church, Roma has God-given goals, and we're speaking on the goals of Roma here. There's a wonderful verse in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where God says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering what your future is. Maybe you've lost your way. You've been detoured in life. I don't know what it is, but you just don't have any expectations for life. I'm here to proclaim to you this morning that God has a goal for your life. There's something that He wants to use you for, to accomplish for His glory. So with a brief runway this morning, I want to share Roma's goals with you to this morning, utilizing the text that we're using in Acts chapter 2. Number one, I want to share with you from this text the goals of Roma of an enlarged family of missionaries. And you'll find that in the 41st verse of goals being achieved in the local church. Remember, Roma is a local church ministry. Thus, the same principle, biblical principles apply. Look at verse 41. "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. The 47 verse says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved." I believe there's a growth factor to ministry. I don't believe we should ever think that we could coast, because I know one thing: when you start to coast, you don't go forward. Sometimes you go backwards. Help me, church. And so there's a growth factor. Let me give you three letter E's as some points to this message. Number one, we are to expect growth in the church and in its ministries. It was William Carey, the man that is known as the father of modern missions and a missionary to India, who said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." We have a God that wants to bless our lives and our ministries if we'll only submit everything that we do to Him. And I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I get so involved in the work of the Lord that I forget about the Lord of the work. But my Bible still says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, "Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think." Watch, church, according to the power that worketh in us. That verse tells me that God wants to bless exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever imagine or ask. If we'll only submit our lives and ministries under the authority of God and under the authority of the local church. It was the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, where Jabez prayed this prayer. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Watch these words now. "And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Now, we don't want to grow just to satisfy our egos, or just to satisfy our ambition. It's because of the growth factor that we find in the early church that God expects all its ministries of the church to grow. So number one, we should expect growth in the church. Number two, we should be enlisting men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." I tell every church that I go to, that I preach in, that I'm there shopping. I'm looking for young men, young women. I'll settle for old men, old women, who want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we don't see Samuels much in the church anymore because we don't have Hannahs and Elkanahs who are bringing their little Samuels to the altar and saying, "God, my hands are off. You do what you want with them." I hear parents say all the time, I don't want my child going to some quotes and quotes God-forsaken country where they'll be in danger. I want my children to be safe. Listen to me, church. The safest place for your children is smack dab in the perfect center of God's will for their life. That's where the safety is. And matter of fact, they're unsafe on the peripheral or the margins of God's perfect will. Are we on the same page? Say amen. But we need moms and dads. We need grandmas and grandpas who are going to say they're going to take their hands off and bring Junior and bring Sissy to the altar and say, God, if you want my kid, they're yours. Because children are not ours. The Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Amen. There's an enlisting factor that we should be duplicating ourselves for the cause of Christ. And here in this room with Laroma leadership, there's 100 years of faithfulness and longevity of ministry in the Laroma team. And this is what we pass on to faithful men who pass it on to others. The first E under the growth factor in enlarged family ministry was to expect growth. The second was to enlist men. The third E is to encouraging servants. Many missionaries are discouraged. It's been a tough 2 years, as Brother Ricky has expressed in the first service. We had missionaries who were stuck on the field and stuck in the States and couldn't go back. We had missionaries who were stuck on the field and couldn't come to the States. We had missionaries who were on deputation who literally just quit. They just quit. If you know anything about missionaries, you know that the first year is the most difficult year, as I said in the video. You know how much a missionary has incoming monthly when he first starts out? Predominantly zero, unless the sending church is helping them. You say, how do they live? They live on love offerings from one church to another. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to sound critical, but sometimes the love offering won't put enough gas in your car to get you to the next church. And so these servants need to be encouraged. And one of the things that Dr. Clark and Ted and I, we try to encourage missionaries, pastors too, and preachers and missionaries who are getting discouraged. It's been a tough 2 years. But you know what I've seen these 2 years? A great opportunity to represent Christ to a confused world. You may understand what's going on. You've seen the writing on the wall, but most of the world has not. And the political chaos and the social unrest and the pandemic that we're in the midst of, those people are asking questions. And the Bible says we should be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. We got the answer, and the answer is Jesus. And we need to be able to help them. Jesus said in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As a church member of a small independent Baptist church in Southwest Ohio, I remember the first time I heard that verse. And I had been faithfully attending church and trying to be involved, but I don't know if I was really a follower of Jesus. And that verse says, herein is my Father glorified. Jesus says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be into my disciples. And here's what I learned that day, that if I'm going to be a disciple of Christ, if I'm going to be walking the footsteps of Christ, if I'm going to follow Jesus, then you know what I need to be doing? I need to be bearing much fruit for his glory and honor. That turned me into a soul winner, Pastor Pete, where I would begin to reach others for Christ. Number one, we need to have an enlarged family of missionaries to expect growth and to enlist men and to encourage other servants. Here's the second thought of what Roma wants to accomplish and what our goals are. A goals of an enhanced future for ministry. Look at verses 42 and 43 of Acts 2. Here's what they did. Now remember the point. We don't put these pretty little points in there to sound cute. They have a purpose. The goals of an enhanced future for ministry. Watch verse 42 and 43. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I don't know about you, but I expect God to do miraculous things. I expect God to move in a miraculous way. Now, we know the greatest miracle that God will ever do is the saving of our soul. It's because my definition of a miracle is to suspend the natural to perform that which is supernatural. And the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So when a natural man become born again, that's a supernatural act. That's called a miracle. And the greatest miracle that you will ever experience in your life is when you become born again. If you're here this morning and never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I challenge you that this morning is your now. Because the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. When's your now? When you hear the gospel. What's the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross for you. And he wants to save your soul and forgive you of your sins. But we don't see a whole lot of miracles these days in our churches. You say, Brother Stevens, why do you think that we don't? Well, Psalm 107 says this: those who do business, watch now, those who do business in great waters or deep waters, these see the works of God and his wonders in the deep. The word wonder and miracle in the Bible is interchangeable. Let me read that, quote that verse to you again. Those that do business, so it's someone who's doing business in great waters or deep waters. Watch now. These see the works of God and his wonders in the deep. There will be no miracles on the shoreline. We need to get out into the deep waters of faith. He said, Brother Stevens, I know what you want. You want us to do what all missionaries do. They just jump out by faith. They sell everything they have. They buy themselves a Dodge missionary mobile and go out on deputation. That's what you want. No, I want you to go out the way God wants you to go out. Hello? The Bible says that God gives to every man a measure of faith. But Luke 17:5 says that faith can be increased because that's what the apostles cried out and said, Lord, increase my faith. Watch now. Listen closely. There'll be no miracle. There'll be no wonder. There'll be no suspension of the natural to perform that which is supernatural on the shoreline. We have to go out into the deep waters of faith. You say, preacher, how do you want me to go out? Go out like Ezekiel. How does Ezekiel go out into the water? Well, first he went out ankle deep. Maybe that's all the faith you have, just to step out in ankle deep water. Then he went out knee high, and then he went out waist high. Before you know it, he couldn't touch bottom. He was out there with the big boy swim. And maybe your faith needs to be increased this morning and cry out like the apostles did in Luke 17:5 when they said, Lord, increase our faith. I need to see a wonder in my home, in my marriage, with my children, at my job, in my finances, and in my health. God, I need you to intervene in a supernatural way. No doctor can help me. No lawyer can help me. No one can help me but you, God. And you would line these altars tonight and cry out, Lord, this morning, and cry out, Lord, increase my faith. There needs to be an enhanced future, and it comes by the miraculous involvement of God in our life. Let me give you five letter E's that are coupled with letter F's. They had an enhanced future because of an enhanced faith. What does it say? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. My Bible teaches me that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. William Faulkner, a famous writer, once said, you cannot swim for newer horizons until you have courage to lose sight of the shoreline. Not only did they have an enhanced faith, but they had an enduring fellowship. What did they do? They continued in what? In fellowship. Not only did they have an enhanced faith and an enduring fellowship, but they had an enhanced future because of an exercise focused on prayer. They continued in breaking of bread and in prayers. Not only did they have an exercise, a focus on prayer, but watch now, they had a future because of an evidence of fear. What does it say? And fear came upon every soul. There was a reverence for the men of God. And Pastor Pete, because of the failure of some in ministry, we're losing that reverence for the man of God. But these men had it, and watch now. In the church today, men should be one who have lived a life of respect and honor, who are walking in the steps of Christ, and I think we'll see that evidence of fear. Fear came upon every soul, but watch now. They had a future because of an emanating force, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The church and its ministry still have future until the trumpet sounds. And you say, oh, you independent Baptist preachers, you've been preaching about the coming of Jesus for 2,000 years. Yes, we are. Yes, we have. But we're 2,000 years closer than the first sermon. Jesus said,
Jesus said, work while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. I could have said that verse about 3 years ago. It would have had an impact. But for these past 2 years now, when we see the lights growing dim, and we see what's going on in California, in independent Fundamental Baptist churches, it's not that far away. And the government can move in and tell us when we can meet. And if we don't do what they say, they'll start fining us. You know what? Work while it's day. The lights are still on. We still have opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The night cometh when no man can work. They had an emanating force. Signs and wonders were done. Jesus said, I must work the works in that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. Not only do we, as goals of Roma, are the same as the early church, but the goals of an enlarged family of missionaries, goals of an enhanced future for missionaries, ministry. But I want to finish with this last thought. Goals of an enterprising finances for ministry. Look at verses 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man has had need. Cleveland Baptist Church has heavily invested in the Stevens and the Evanses and Gypsy ministry here and abroad. Our mission, our ministries in Romania and Hungary and all of our ministries is because of the investments that you made. You know why you did that? Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for seeing souls saved, you invested. Under this point, let me give you three letter U's. They had enterprising finances because of a united faith. And all that believed were together. Simone's home church is in Melbourne, Florida. I attend there with her, of course. And the motto of the church this year was, we're better together. You know, God can't bless discord. He'll bless unity. I preach a lot of Faith Promise Missions conferences. And sometimes a pastor, Pastor Pete, will have a goal of what he would like to see the Faith Promise equal to. And so I'll pray for that goal. But my real prayer for every missions conference that I preach is that they would be 100% unity in the faith promise of the membership of that church. That the amount that they put on a card is irrelevant. Whether it's a dime, a quarter, a dollar, 10, or 100, doesn't make any difference. It's the fact that they've contributed. They're in, they're united, because God cannot bless discord. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven, or the seventh, is an abomination to him, those that sow discord amongst the brethren. Let me ask you, does discord work in the home? Help me. When the family's not united, does it work? No, of course not. How about discord in the government? I'll leave that one alone. And discord doesn't work in the church. God blessed the early church because they were united. All that believed were together. They had enterprising finances because of an unwavering commonality. They had all things common. They had enterprising finances because of an undaunting forfeiture. What did they do? They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Because of this undaunting forfeiture, everything was in place that was needed to accomplish the task that God had called the early church to do. And that can be done for us too. I'm reminded of when David needed a piece of land to give a sacrifice, which eventually became the site of the temple. He went to a man by the name of Ornan in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and requested to purchase Ornan's property. And this is what Ornan said to David. Take it thee and let my Lord do that which is good in his eyes. I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings and the threshing instruments for wood, and for the wheat, and for the meat offering. And the last four words of 1 Chronicles 21:23 is, I give it all. Ornan didn't know really what was happening, other than hundreds of thousands of Jewish people were dying because of the failure of David. And God demands a sacrifice on a specific piece of ground that belonged to someone else. David purchased that ground. Ornan didn't know that his threshing floor was going to become the site of the temple of God. Many times we give and we don't know what God is going to accomplish with our giving. But I promise you that God will accomplish great things with our gifts for his glory and honor. We need to have an undaunting forfeiture. He said, I give it all. We sing the song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures are forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. There was a gypsy man in my ministry, and he always heard about giving and tithing and all that. And he says, I know what you want, a preacher. You want me to just empty my bank account and bring it to the altar. I said, that would be fine, but that's not what I want. What does God want? And here's what God wants. God wants you to say that everything you have belongs to him. Hello? I had another gypsy man says, I'm a self-made man. I made everything that I have. It's all because of me. And I said to that gypsy man, you have what you have because God allowed that heart to beat within your chest. Hello? I surrender all. You know, when Ornan gave all these things, the last thing he had was some sons. And when he said, I gave it all, I think he meant even those sons were to be given to David. We are stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Cleveland Baptist has been faithful in giving and serving for many years. That's why the legacy of Cleveland Baptist and the gospel is preached all over the world. But maybe you're here today and you need to surrender it all. You're still holding on. I call them stop sign Christians. You go this far and a stop sign goes up. I'm not going any further. This is it. You say, Brother Stephen, what do I have to offer? Well, the first thing you need to offer is you. Story about when the offering was being taken in a church, a little girl had nothing to put into the plate. And so she signaled to the usher to put the plate on the floor, and the little girl stepped in. Maybe that's what we need to do today. Step into the offering plate. I'm not a doomsday preacher. I don't know how much time we have. But if we read the writing on the wall, Jesus said we can know the season. I don't know about you, but it looks like the season to me. You say, well, these are tough times, preacher. Yeah, but these are also great opportunities. To pass out tracts, to witness, to invite people to church. There's my wife. She's my witness. Every drive through where I go, whether my French fries are cold or not, I shout out at the top of my lungs, Jesus loves you. Ask her and give her a gospel tract or him a gospel tract. These are opportunities to serve. Who needs to hear the gospel from you? Who needs to hear from your mouth that Jesus loves them? You know, sometimes they come to that window, they're so upset. Someone has just railed into them. And when I say that Jesus loves them, a smile comes on their face. They'll say, thank you. Sometimes they say, I hope he does. And I say, well, according to John 3:16, he does. And then sometimes they say, well, he loves you too. They need to hear. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around.